Well, hello, and welcome to another season of Stuff We Like, the autumn season 2013. We're going to be having quite a few episodes with interviews and stuff. This particular episode, however, is going to be slightly shorter and will just feature me for the time being, simply because it's been very difficult to arrange interviews as I am currently in the process of helping to open up a coffee shop. Yes, you heard that correctly. After evaluating coffee shops endlessly, and of course, that includes this episode as well, I'm actually going to be taking part in opening a coffee shop in my home neighbourhood of Green Lane, Dagenham. So I will keep you posted on all the individual progress of that particular enterprise as it takes shape. Watch out for the Corner Coffee House in Green Lane, Dagenham. But now, Stuff We Like. Speaking of coffee and coffee shops, I want to take this opportunity to tell you about a new gadget which I've come across and which we now use in our family. If you are fond of coffee, and I know I talk an awful lot about coffee on Stuff We Like, you might be the sort of person who grinds their own beans. We have a De'Longhi coffee bean grinder, which comes out with enough coffee to make espressos with. But we also have a new espresso maker. Now, the thing about this particular espresso maker is it isn't fancy. It doesn't have a milk frother or spectacular attachments. In fact, all it is something that looks rather like a test tube. And what you do is you put the espresso coffee in one end and you push the two tubes together so that the water that is in the tube is pushed through by pressure through into a vessel, which is where you collect the espresso coffee. The device is called the AeroPress. Now, the AeroPress is very simple. It works with a vacuum pressure as you push the air through the coffee. It then creates the espresso effect. It's very difficult to get the right sort of pressure to create crema for your coffee using this. To do that, you have to do it at a certain level of PSI, and there are people on the internet who've created devices to do this. But what it does create is a very, very nice, flavoursome, full-flavoured espresso, which is delicate and kind of sweet. Not sweet in a sickly sense, but really you feel like you're getting the best of the coffee as it comes through. Admittedly, a lot is down to the kind of coffee you use. And to be honest, we often use supermarket's own espresso, and that's perfectly good. Or supermarket's own coffee that we grind to an espresso powder in the grinder. The other thing that's worth noting about the AeroPress coffee maker is that it costs about £20, maybe £30 if you buy the fancy kit with all the bells and whistles and free extra beans with it. The AeroPress is a revolutionary coffee maker. I know people who have invested in very complex machines at £200 or £300 worth that stand on their worktop and they do all the stuff, but they take quite a lot of cleaning and quite a lot of maintenance and quite a lot of expert working. But the AeroPress isn't like that at all. Once you get the hang of how to make an AeroPress coffee, it's dead simple. All it requires is a bit of elbow power to push the water, hot water, through the beans, the actual coffee mix at the bottom, and into the vessel at the bottom. And once you've got that, you've got an espresso that you can pour into cups and drink neat as an espresso, or add water for an Americano, or add milk and other things for the lattes and cappuccinos that you may want to make. Check out the AeroPress coffee maker on the internet. It really is a simple, inexpensive revolution in espresso making, which makes a very nice cup of coffee. I'm here on location in London. It's a glorious sunny day, quite humid, and I've just been to a very nice coffee shop at the top end of Brick Lane. It took me a little while to get there, through Spitalfields and down to Brick Lane itself, and a little way down at the junction, near the junction of Brick Lane and Bethnal Green Road, is the coffee shop. Sorry, I just had to wait for a passing siren there. It's the coffee shop. It's called Kahila, and it is very welcoming. It's a fairly open plan, stripped wooden floors, wooden furniture, very friendly staff, and they bring the coffee to you in a glass, which is quite unusual. And I had a very pleasant flat white there, and there's plenty of place to sit and mooch while away the time. It's not a franchise. It's nothing spectacular, but it's an honest, lovely coffee shop. The kind of coffee shop that you like to go into when you're sort of footsore and you're wandering about the big city like that. So, Kahila Coffee on Brick Lane, near the junction of Brick Lane and Bethnal Green Road. Not far, in fact, from The Guardian coffee shop, which, yes, is owned by the newspaper, and no, I haven't tried yet, but I will try it for another episode. So Kahila Coffee on Brick Lane, not far from Bethnal Green Road. I have a question. What do the following musicians have in common? George Harrison, Ritchie Valens, Jeff Beck, Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon, Eric Clapton, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimmy Vaughan, Buddy Guy, Dave Gilmour, Andy Barons, Ritchie Blackmore, Mark Knopfler, Ronnie Wood, Robert Cray, David Simmons, John Mayer, Buddy Holly, Bob Dylan, Hank Marvin, Dick Dale, Bonnie Raitt, Richie Sambora, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Eddie Van Halen, Edge, Ry Cooder, John Frusciante, Rory Gallagher, Yngwie Malmsteen, Mike Oldfield, Pete Townsend, Richard Thompson. Give up. They're all passionate exponents of the Fender Stratocaster guitar. The Fender Strat is definitely something I like. I personally own a 1998 Californian model. I had to think about that. But they come in all sorts of shapes and models. The basic shape remains the same, although within that shape there are many, many varieties. You might have a hardtail, which basically means you have no tremolo, although the tremolo is arguably what makes the Fender Stratocaster so unique, but some people don't like the way it causes the guitar to go out of tune. People like Robert Cray like it hard-tailed. Then some of them are fat strats. In other words, they have a humbucker pickup, much more powerful pickup at the bridge end. Then there are some people who adapt their Stratocasters. They soup up the various pickup elements. In the case of Ritchie Blackmore, he didn't like the middle pickup, so he just used the front and the back pickups where most of the power is. They're incredibly versatile. You may like the sound they produce and always use it in the same way, like Dick Dale tended to, or Hank Marvin, always in the bridge position with that twangy sound, the characteristic 1950s echoey, twangy, reverberating sound that the Fender Stratocaster is famous for. But then they're incredibly versatile. Even within one song, you can get that sound. Then you can get a meaty, distorted sound. Then a mellow, gentle, sweet sound. They have power. They have harmony. They have melody. They have so much expression within the way they are made. They are contoured. The wood is actually contoured to fit the guitarist's body. They're fairly light because they don't have a through neck. In other words, the neck is a bolted-on addition to the body. Unlike the Gibson Les Paul, which is one block of wood carved into a guitar shape, often, or at least the neck is set in, it's not that heavy. Some of those guitars, which are made out of one block of wood, tend to be incredibly heavy. And after playing it for an hour and a half, you really do feel it on your shoulders. But the Strat just carries on going. It carries on playing you as well as you playing it. Now, that was a cliche, I know. But it is one of those instruments that never stops giving, both in terms of its sound, its quality, but also how you can play it. You can get incredibly esoteric sounds, such as the Edge might get. You can use it as a basic rhythm instrument, which Buddy Holly did and Bob Dylan, people like that. You could fingerpick like Richard Thompson might do, or Mark Knopfler. And just listening to any of Mark Knopfler's songs gives you the sense of how the Strat actually informed the early sound of Dire Straits, nicknamed Dire Strats because there were two of them when Mark Knopfler and his brother also played together. The Fender Stratocaster can give plaintive, wailing sounds, such as is given by Dave Gilmour in his Pink Floyd work. Just listen to the guitar solo of Comfortably Numb, which is, strangely, one of the most commonly asked for pieces in Desert Island Discs, I understand. And you can understand the sort of power and the emotion that can be generated through the sound of a Fender Stratocaster. Listen to the chaotic distortion and incredible techniques that were being pioneered by Jimi Hendrix. And you can see the way in which the Stratocaster can, I don't know, get to the throat of the listener and grab you and never let go. The sounds sort of penetrate into the body cavity because they can be so powerful if aligned with the right kind of amplifier. And of course, for some people, a Marshall stack is all that is required. For other people, it has to be a Fender Vibraverb like Stevie Ray Vaughan might use. If you listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan's music, of course, and other stuff we like, it is quite exceptional because he's one of those guitarists who can play rhythm and lead at the same time. He would fingerpick and play a chunky rhythm and at the same time get some kind of lead thing going. Songs like Texas Flood rip through the sound systems that you play them through. It's just incredible technique. The music literally poured from his fingers onto his Fender Stratocaster. His was a very battered Stratocaster. It had really seen life. Not unlike Rory Gallagher's. Legend has it that he kept his Stratocaster out in the garden for several years while it just disintegrated, and then he picked it up and took it on tour, and it sounded amazing. I don't know if legends like that actually have any basis in fact, but nevertheless, the Fender Stratocaster sounded fantastic when played by Rory Gallagher. It is a unique, mass-produced, yes, but unique instrument. Every single Strat is unique in its own self. It has its own characteristics. So that's why Fender produced so many signature Stratocasters, because so many different great artists have adapted the Stratocaster to make it sound as though they created it themselves. They might adapt the pickups, they might change the bridge heads, they might do all sorts of things, change the necks or whatever. Stevie Ray Vaughan tinkered endlessly with his. Some Stratocasters are hollow-bodied, so they give a slightly more ringy tone. It's very true to say that the shape of the Stratocaster has influenced a lot of guitar design over the years. Things like the Yamaha Pacifica are directly influenced by it. But yet, although it's an iconic shape, and although a lot of people look at a Strat and think, oh, that's a Strat, or maybe if they don't know, they just think, oh, it's an electric guitar, nevertheless, each Strat has its own unique signature, its own unique song to sing. And in keeping with the spirit of this new version of Stuff We Like, where we just throw whatever we like into the mix, has anyone seen the new Flicker? That's quite an exceptional thing. It's strange because I've got an account and I kind of let it dwindle for a while because I hadn't, I don't know, I think I had been pro for a year and I let it lapse. But it appears as though every user of Flicker gets a free terabyte of data. Yes, a terabyte. That's 1,000 gigabytes. That's a lot of space. Now, the thing about Flickr is that it has always been something of a social networky type photo website. But the social networking aspect has taken a slight back turn in this new version of Flickr, and the photography has come to the fore, which, let's face it, is what it should be for a photography website. It's all about the photos. So whatever device you log into Flickr on, it promotes not only your own library of photos, your gallery, but also lots of other people and recommended photos and so on. So you get to see some great photography and you can interact with the photographers if you like the picture. So a terabyte of data, more about the photography, more about the photos. I'm liking the new Flickr. I saw a recent article on the internet which asked the question, if a retro piece of technology could be reintroduced into the 21st century, what would you want to see back? Such as telegraph machines or Morse code devices or old Sony Walkman or even the Palm Pilots, which graced the technology world in the turn of the millennium, or the old-fashioned mobile phones, or old gramophone records, or the old 78s. What technology would you like to see return in the 21st century? Email me on dhsimmons@outlook.com, or tell me on Facebook or on Twitter or on any other mode of communication what you would like to see return. And that brings us to the close of this episode of Stuff We Like. But please don't go before you follow me on Twitter, @DavidSimmons, Pinterest, Stuff We Like, where you can see all the stuff that we talk about every week. And you can also email me, dhsimmons@outlook.com. I'm David Simmons, and this podcast has been brought to you by Absolute Productions, a division of Absolute Communications.